Welcome, everybody, to day 9 of Empowering You for Breakthrough. This is Deanna Allen, and our host, Donna Power Parteau, is unable to be with us today, so I will be teaching. I hope that you are very, very excited. It doesn't matter if this is the first day that you're tuning in or if you have followed every day of this live teleclass. As you know, these can stand alone. You'll get as much benefit out of listening to one. Of course, we encourage you to listen to them all to get the maximum benefit. We are offering this right now free as a gift that we are seeding into the body of Christ. However, at the end of this class, we will be compiling everything and offering it as an e-class, and there will be a fee for that. It'll come with the workbook, and we will be incorporating the book that I am writing right now, live for this group and as a result of my personal 21-day fast and feast with God. The book is called One Word from You, and those will be available as the daily devotional that can accompany the class. So we're going to jump right into this and say a quick prayer, and then we're going to look at knowing our enemy's strategy, his three-part strategy that's designed to keep us bound. Heavenly Father, Lord, I give you all the power, all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. I exalt your holy name. Lord, I ask, Father God, that as we come together in your presence, as we are pursuing your truth, your freedom, your light that shines into the dark crevices of our life, those chains that are combined as a link that have made bondage in our life, I ask that you would break every chain. Break every chain. You said that we would know the truth and that the truth would set us free. You said that he whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. And I proclaim this right now over every participant of our group, over every person that is listening, that as the sound of my voice goes out, these words that you are speaking, you said give us ears to hear. I pray that these ears are opened. I pray that these people would be diligent, not just to be hearers, but to be doers of what it is that you are instructing in these calls. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. We need you, Lord. We are fully relying upon you, upon revelation from you, upon your love, upon your presence to break us free. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the teaching part of today is knowing your enemy's strategy. It's very important when you go into war that you know the strategy of the person that you are facing up against in battle. You don't just go into these blind. You're trained and you have weapons of warfare and you have to kind of know where the attack is going to come from. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And this three-part strategy starts out like this. There's the first step. The first step of our enemy is that he wants to keep spiritual blinders on us. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul refers to the God of this world who had blinded people to see the gospel. This is a spiritual blindness that prevents us from receiving understanding. Maybe you've experienced, I know there are lots of women in prison that I've prayed for that have really said, I try to read God's word, I just can't understand it. I go blank, I draw a blank, I just don't get it. That's actually one of the tactics of the enemy, is to keep us blinded, to keep us from being able to receive understanding even when we try to come to the word of God. The second phase works very tightly with the first, and we can see this modeled in 2 Corinthians 2:11, where we see that he's trying to keep us spiritually ignorant, especially concerning his subtle devices and his deceptions. And later today, we're going to shine some light in our challenge for change. The reflection questions that we're going to give you are for this purpose specifically, to go after those places that the enemy might have been strategizing very subtly as a way to keep you deceived and to keep your mind in his vice. I want you to know that we're going to always remain in bondage if we're unaware or don't believe that we're bound. That's what deception is. If you don't know that you're bound, then you don't know that you're bound. If you think that what you're doing is normal or acceptable or not that bad, if you believe that the consequence of your sin only rides on your own shoulders, that was part of my drug addiction. I believed that I was only hurting myself. There was an even deeper deception than that. I believed that I had the right to be in control of my own pain because of all of the abuse that I had suffered. Every form that I suffered as a child, I developed this coping mechanism that everybody else had hurt me and everybody else was in control of my level of pain. Well, I set up this rebellion that said, I'm going to be the one to hurt me, and I'm going to be the one that knows when it starts and when it stops and how much I can handle. But I never, 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 never saw the full damage that my drug addiction was causing, how it had taken me away from being a mother, had me emotionally checked out of all of my relationships, had opened a lot of doorways to the demonic, and so I was greatly deceived, and I didn't know it. I was blind. I was ignorant. So we're going to be removing spiritual blindness today, and in order to do this, it requires light. It says that the light pierces the darkness, that the darkness has to flee. Light and dark cannot exist together. So we're bringing God's light to these situations. We're asking for illumination from God's word. See, if the enemy can't keep us blinded, then he'll try to keep us ignorant. And he doesn't care if we're fully ignorant. He's totally okay to just keep us ignorant enough from getting total deliverance. Total deliverance. And if he can't accomplish those two things, then what he'll do is he'll plan a trap of deception as his third strategy. We've been talking about this. People have been posting on the Facebook group little subtle things, really little subtle things. But as they've been posting, as they've been bringing these small little lurking things into the light, they've really started to experience the deeper matters. I feel really humiliated by posting this. I'm afraid that if anybody really knew, what would you think? Nobody would talk to me. See, those are those deeper-seated lies that we believe. Those are those places where, like in our previous call, we talked about the master of disguise, that root that just keeps coming back to pride. Pride, pride. In Matthew 24, we have some good examples of how we can watch for some deceptions. We're warned about false prophets, false Christs, false teachings. Christ said, take heed that no one deceives you. Well, of course, today we're looking at, you know, how Satan, our adversary, the one whose plan is to steal, kill, and destroy us and everything good in our life, that he has this strategy of deception. Paul warned the very same thing. You can find that in Ephesians 5, 6, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. I thought it was really interesting as God had me looking into, he was downloading all this information to me yesterday, and he instructed me to check out what the Greek word describes as deceive, and it says to wander, to stagger, to be led off course by an outside influence. I had already this week been spending a lot of time thinking about distractions, how many people are tossed to and fro constantly by every wind of life that blows, unable to have spiritual disciplines, all these things that we've been talking about, spending time in the Word, journaling, praying, seeking God's direction, fasting, all of these things, looking for the solution. And all of these crises come up, and all of these different things happen and vie for our attention and our time with God. And those are some of the things that lead us off course. These are these outside influences that distract us. They get us off track. They lead us off course. And we have to really purpose ourselves to not be tossed to and fro by every wind that blows. I know it sounds a lot easier to say it than it does to do it. But I'll let you know two of the verses that I continually bring to my mind when I'm looking at my circumstances, when I'm being pressed against the wall, pressured, discouraged, oppressed, placed in a position of fear, worry, doubt, anxiety. I have to take those thoughts captive, and I have to remind myself that that's why God instructs us to walk by faith and not by sight. I have to choose to not let these external outside influences dictate, rule and reign over me. I have to tell my soul to sit down, and I have to ask my spirit man to rise up and to fellowship with the Spirit of God, to go to Him, to receive truth, to submit to what it is that He's instructing me to do. I also have to fix my mind on things above and not beneath. It's the same thing. I have to keep a heavenly perspective. I cannot allow myself in any situation to be conformed to the ways of the world. I cannot look like, act like, think like, and feel like the things of the world. I have to remember to wear my robe of righteousness and to do these things that the Lord has trained me to do. So, deceive, again, means to wander, to stagger, to be led off course by an outside influence. See, here's the problem. The ultimate purpose of God is to bring total deliverance to our body, soul, and spirit. We talked about this yesterday. I encourage you to look up the word sozo in the Bible. Find it everywhere it is. It means that in Jesus, in Christ, we have salvation, we have healing, and we have deliverance. That's God's ultimate purpose. That's what He sent Jesus for, so that we could have that abundant life, not just life everlasting, not just when we die, but a now and later Savior, so that we can have salvation, we can go to heaven, but we can also have life and have it more abundantly, that we could have an experience above all that we could dare ask or imagine in Christ. Those desires of our heart, God placed those there. He places the desires in our heart, and then He gives us the desires of our heart. That's God's purpose. Well, the purpose of our adversary is to work against God. He wants everything else for us. He wants us to stay bound. He wants us to stay blind to the good news, the gospel of Christ Jesus, so that we can go to hell. He wants us to stay physically sick in our body, to continually battle disease. He wants us to have train wrecked emotions, to have constant mental battles and hurt feelings and offenses and pride and all that stuff. These are the things, the snares that the enemy sets as a trap for us, so that if we fall into that trap, we'll be snapped and our purpose and our destiny are at risk. So, what's the solution? I loved that day that Donna taught on the solution. And what's the solution? Got it. We've got a word. Here you go. How can we get free? Free. Here's our solution. F, we have to face our past pains. We have to. There's just, if you don't ask God and allow the Holy Spirit to take you through the healing process of revealing those soul and spirit wounds that have happened to us in our life, whether by our own actions or by others, then we're going to have places, wounds, where the enemy knows that he can fester up pain, he can bring about infection, and some of these deep, deep, deep wounds, if you think about a wound and how it can get it infected, it can go into your bloodstream and it can spread disease and decay throughout your body. There are actually lots of people, when they come forward for healing, the very first question is we ask them, when did this injury or this illness first start, and was there anything significant that was happening in your life, any trauma that occurred, any, you know, relationship issues that came up? And oftentimes, not always, it's not always that a physical illness is tied to a sin or a hurt, but very many times you can find that this is a place where the enemy was given ground. This is where he came in and he got his building permit, and that pain was not dealt with, and we nursed it and we rehearsed it, and as we did that, ungodly beliefs came in, and then those things started building wild imaginations that exalted themselves against the truth of God. So we have to take a healing journey. We have to face our past pains, have to acknowledge where people have hurt us and what that damage caused in our life, and then we have to forgive them, and we talked about that in one of our earlier classes. The R, after we've faced our past pains and we've asked the Holy Spirit to show us where these deep wounds have happened, then we have to renew our mind. We're not just looking to make this nasty list of, you know, all of this horrific stuff that's happened to us, the most painful things. Those, I know the very first time that I did this, I was working through my 12 steps, and this came as the assignment was the fourth step, and I wrote out 12 or 13 pages. And I thought, you know, this is why I numbed my pain. And you're asking me to go to those very places of the deepest, darkest pains of my life. And this is not a fun process, but the process was not just to inventory the pain, but to ask God to put together the puzzle to show me what these pains caused in my life. Where are areas that I took over as God because I had a deep security need that was breached, whether it was in my sexual instincts, whether it was in my security instincts, whether it was in my social instincts, things like, you know, no matter what I do, I can't get ahead. I have to provide for me at all costs. Nobody's going to take care of me. Whether it's people can't be trusted, I can't let people in. When I let people get close, I get hurt. Walls go up, and I built a fortress around my heart. The problem with my walls and my fortress, I made myself so safe from others, but in the process, I had isolated myself, and I was all alone. My walls also kept God out, because in that verbal vow, I will never let anybody have my heart. I never let God have my heart either. I said it, I tried to do it, but I never was able to fully surrender until I went on this healing journey. And I faced those past pains, and I realized all of those places that I had been wounded and what my mind had taken in, the ungodly beliefs that I had built my life around. And to renew my mind, I had to combat those ungodly beliefs with the truth. And I had to spend a lot of time with God, in God's word, praying, fasting, seeking his direction to get the truth. Because remember, we're talking about deception here. We're talking about one of the key strategies that the enemy has, he's been secure in this tactic. All of my life he's used this. This has worked. And now we're tearing down these strongholds, these weapons of warfare that I didn't have in my own hands, because they're not carnal. They're not a natural weapon that we can find anywhere else. These are weapons that are mighty by God for the purpose of pulling down strongholds. So first we face our past pains, then we renew our mind, and then E, we have to examine our ways and test them. We begin to daily, and this is why we strongly recommend that you journal. You're not going to see these patterns that are so subtle unless you break out God's magnifying glass and you get very intentional, you begin to challenge that stinking thinking. When you have a strong feeling arise, when you have a strong emotion, an uncontrollable emotion rise up, when your button gets pushed, you immediately, you identify that. You check in with God and where is this coming from? What is the root of this feeling? Is this of you, God? Is there something that I'm believing that's not true? Am I about to react based on something from my past? You have to challenge all of your values. Codependency is one of these things. I was working with a gal, and we'd been doing deep work, and it was extensive. It was covering some time, and she believed that one of her values was that she was loyal to the fault, that she would stand by people's sides, and she would get walked on by them, and she would get abused by them, and she would get rejected by them and betrayed by them. And as she cried, we just sought Jesus and asked, you know, is this a value of you, or is this a coping method? And, you know, as she began to cry out, Jesus showed her that really her loyalty was because she needed to be needed. She felt that her value was found in how much people needed her, but it wasn't a godly giving that she was giving. It was a very disturbed depending upon people needing her, and there was no joy in it. God's grace was not in it. She was not being refreshed as she was doing it. She was being wounded. She was caught in this trap, and she was dying an emotional death. So we have to examine our ways and test them. We have to challenge what we believe our values are, bring them to God, and ask Him if He is the source. And then the last E, we have to expect and embrace the change. Expect and embrace the change. First of all, we have to believe that God can and will make all things new. We have to believe that as we die to self, as we lay these old behaviors, these destructive thought patterns, these obsessive, compulsive behaviors, we have to lay these things down, and we have to believe that when God said, old things have passed away, behold, all things are become new, that we are new. We are new. We have already been made new in God's calculation, and then we just have to walk it out by faith. We have to continue to take steps and let our actions line up with our beliefs. I believe I'm a new creation, therefore I can no longer think like this. And we have to then take those thoughts captive, replace those ungodly beliefs with the truth, with the Word of God. And we have to agree and cooperate with the process. I've been excited since the beginning of the launching of this group to share this. This is a whole teaching that I've done in the past, but here's the simplest form of it. We will either experience a breakdown, not necessarily a mental breakdown, although that is possible too, but a breakdown of a relationship, a breakdown of our finances, a breakdown of our health, a breakdown of our emotional well-being. We will either experience a breakdown or a breakthrough. There's only one of two ways to go. We will experience a breakdown when we run from God, don't involve God, or don't cooperate, meaning not be obedient when God instructs us on what we need to get free. We're going to have a breakdown. But if we want to break through, we run to God, we ask Him, we give Him permission, and we cooperate with the best of our ability. We confess and we repent and we do what we talked about in one of our early classes. We enumerate. We one by one by one by one by one by one by one, daily, monthly, annually, continually. We ask God to reveal those things that keep us from experiencing the abundant life. So very quickly, I'm going to read through a list of some ways that we can become deceived by the world, and then some ways that we deceive ourselves. I don't want you to feel like you have to take all these notes down. I am going to post them on Facebook. They'll be made available. And, of course, they'll also be included in the e-class. So I'm going to go through them quickly. They all have a biblical reference, so I encourage you to dig into the Word. Be good Bereans. Don't just trust. We talked about spiritual anorexia. That's where you're living on the regurgitated Word. You're trusting that in my time with God, I've chewed on His Word. I've meditated on it, and I'm spitting out a few nutrients, but you can go back to the Word and you can get the whole meal. So our challenge for change today is to spend your time with God and ask Him if any of these apply to you. Here are some ways that we can be deceived by the world. And this is, I took this from Neil Anderson's Freedom in Christ, very powerful study. And this is just one of the little inventories that you can sit with God and ask Him to reveal to you what, if any, of these are links in the chain that are keeping you bound. So ways we can be deceived by the world: believing that acquiring money and things will bring lasting happiness, believing that excessive food and alcohol, and I will say, or anything else, can relieve your stress and make you happy, believing that an attractive body and personality will get you what you need, believing that gratifying your sexual lust will bring lasting satisfaction. And yes, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to put this out. This masturbation is included in there. I know that's embarrassing for people to hear, but it's a reality. It's one of those dark things. Single women, women that are married and that, you know, aren't being satisfied by their husbands or for whatever reason it is, self-gratification, masturbation is one of these places. It does not bring lasting satisfaction. Believing that you can sin and get away without any negative consequences. Believing you need more than what God has given you in Christ. When we're discontent. Believing that you can do whatever you want and no one can touch you. Believing that unrighteous people who refuse to accept Christ go to heaven anyway. A lot of people believe, you know, I'm a good person. I mean, God's not going to send me to hell. I'm a good person. No, without Christ, that's not true. You know, I've done a lot of really good things. I mean, at the end of my life, God's going to have to weigh out. I've given a lot of money. No, works is not something that gets us into heaven. Believing that you can associate with bad company and not become corrupted. You know, I believe that God sent me to hang out with them to change them. No, you're deceived. That is not what the Word of God says. It says that bad company corrupts good morals. You cannot associate with bad company and not become corrupted. We've used this term before. If you stick around in the bar long enough, you're going to have a drink. Or if the bar isn't your deal, if you go to the barber shop enough times, eventually you're going to get your hair cut. Believing that you can read, see, or listen to anything and not be corrupted. Are you feeding your soul worldly music? Is it angry music? Is it sensual music? Or what are you watching on TV? What are you reading? What are you feeding yourself? If you believe that you can just feed yourself your soul garbage and that you're not going to be corrupted, then you're deceived. Believing that there are no consequences on earth for your sin, nothing is going to happen if I do this. Or even worse, this is something that I fell into, is telling yourself, I know that there will be consequences, and I'm okay with the price that I will pay. Here's the problem with that. We don't get to choose who pays the price. It's not always us directly that pays the price of our sin. The sins of the father, the iniquities of the father can be visited down generations. Those things that we speak out over ourselves, those word curses, can be planted in generations down. We don't know who is going to have to pay the price for our sin. That right there keeps me in the fear of the Lord, in wanting to pursue righteousness and holiness. God said, be holy as I am holy. Now, I know it's it's nearly impossible. I have my flesh to contend with, but that's what I set my mind toward because I don't get to pick who pays the price for my sin. Believing that we must gain the approval of certain people in order to be happy. Believing that we have to measure up to certain standards in order to feel good about ourselves. And here's something very simple, and you can do this at the end of either of these little evaluations. Very, very simple prayer. This stuff is not scary, guys. This stuff is Jesus fills us with his love. The Holy Spirit takes us to a very peaceful place and just really shows us these things. And we can just pray very simple prayers. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have been deceived by whichever of those apply to you. I thank you for your forgiveness, and I commit myself to believe only your truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Very simple prayers. Very simple. Write them out. Enumerate them. List them. Write down the effects that those deceptions have had, the cost. Consider the cost, and that'll help you in the future to not want to take that bait again. Here's a few ways we deceive ourselves. Hearing God's word but not doing what it says. Lots of us on the group have posted, I know that God has told me to do this and that, and I haven't. Saying you have no sin. Thinking you are something you are really not. Thinking you are wise in this worldly age. Thinking you can be truly religious but not bridle your tongue. Thinking that God is the source of your problems. Why did you allow this, God? Why did you create this, God? Why did you, you know, Adam said, it's the woman that you gave me. Thinking that you can live your life without the help of anyone else. I'll just do it by myself. I'll get involved when I'm better. I'll give my gifts that God gave me, you know, once I'm healed. Well, there is a time that we need to get healed, but the Bible also says don't wait for perfect conditions. And again, very simple prayer. And then there's ways that we can wrongly defend ourselves. These are some of our reactions. These are behaviors that really the enemy can use for bondage. Denial of reality, whether it's conscious or unconscious. Fantasy. Donna talked about that in a previous class. Do we use daydreaming, TV, movies, music, computer, video games, drugs, alcohol to escape reality? I just need to check out of my reality just for a little bit. I want to numb my mind with the things of the world because my world is too painful to be in right now. Emotional insulation. Do we withdraw from people or keep people at a distance to avoid rejection? Regression. Do we revert to less threatening times? We want to stay back in a period in our marriage and pretend that we were back then when the marriage was good. I loved it when my teenage daughter was a baby. I just want to treat her like she's a baby. My relationship with her was so much better. It was so much easier to parent her before she went through this time of trying to find herself. Displaced anger. Do we take out our frustrations on innocent people? The term kick the cat. Projection. Do we attribute to someone else what we find unacceptable in ourselves? Do we think that everybody's trying to manipulate us simply because we know that we're prone to manipulate others? Rationalization. That's making excuses for our own poor behavior. Lying. We protect ourselves through falsehoods. Blaming ourselves and others when we are not responsible. And hypocrisy. Presenting a false image. And again, these are things, if these things are really connecting with you, if the Holy Spirit has put his thumb on your heart and your heart's pounding, you're like, man, I do that. Oh, yeah, I do that too. Very simple. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have wrongly defended myself by lying and rationalizing and being a hypocrite. And I thank you for your forgiveness. I trust you to defend and protect me. I trust you to defend and protect me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Well, that's the teaching portion. Now I'm going to switch gears And I apologize that you're just hearing my voice. I'm trusting that you're hearing the voice of the Lord, but I know that for this length of time, it can kind of sound just like droning on. Our focus word for today is thirst. You may want to just press into God and ask Him, what does it look like to be thirsty? And here is the daily devotional from my up-and-coming book, One Word from You. My child, there is no reason that you should feel empty, tired, or discontent. I created you with an insatiable desire that is only quenched by things of me. You are craving the wrong things if you are looking to be satisfied by anything other than intimacy with me. I satisfy the thirsty and fill the hungry with good things. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I will refresh you when you are weary and satisfy you when you grow faint. You must learn to rest in me for this refreshing. Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become a spring of water that wells up to eternal life. If you are thirsty, come to me and drink. I am doing something new for you. It is springing forth. Are you aware of it? I will make a roadway in your wilderness place, even rivers in the desert. The dry seasons of your life need not last if you thirst for me and my living water. I bring you to green pastures where you can rest and be replenished. I lead you beside still waters so your soul can find rest and refreshing. You run yourself ragged in your busyness, striving, worrying, and leaning on your own understanding. My thoughts and ways are higher than yours. Come up higher to find satisfaction for your thirst. Come thirsty, I will refresh. Come thirsty, I will replenish. Come thirsty, I will restore. Come thirsty, I will revive. Come to the well. Meet me there. I will fill your bucket to overflowing. I will send you home splashing over with living water. All right. That was our focus word for today, thirst. And now we will wrap up our call. Our live prayer time is going to be with Lori Beth today. Lori Beth, if you're on the call, will you please hit *6 so we can bring you live?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Are you ready?
Yes.
I feel so strongly what you're going through. When I intercede for somebody, there are times that I get these groanings. I can feel, I get this empathy, and I feel your physical pain. I feel your emotional pain, and I am so excited that God chose you to break you out of this today. Will you share whatever you feel comfortable out of what we've already gone back and forth in private messages with? Share with the group so they'll have a little bit of content, and then I'm going to pray over you, and I would like, I'm going to be obedient. I don't do this a lot because my entire life could be consumed by staying on the telephone and doing counseling, and then I wouldn't be a wife and a mother, but there's actually a very strategic model of going back to birth, and I'd like to offer that to you. So I'm going to provide you with a private number, and we'll set up a time, and I want to do a back-to-birth prayer with you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So go ahead and share, and then I'll pray over you.
Okay. Most of the time I'm an open book, so it's kind of, this is probably one of the hardest things I've had to share in a long time. My mother, I had to give a small background of her. I don't want to, you know, talk bad about her or put her down in any way, but I have to because my mom went through so much more than I ever could imagine. But she made a prayer when she was 16 because she was forced to have an abortion. And her prayer was that she would have a baby by the man that she lost her baby by. Not only she and she said she prayed that no matter what, she would have his child. My mom and I have struggled my entire life, and I'm 32, and we still struggle to have a relationship. He was 11 years older than her. The relationship started, she was 14. And it has impacted me more than she knows. And this morning, I think what stuck out to me is you don't know who's going to pay your price for your sin. And that constantly is on my mind because my biggest fear, I think, is my kids. And I want to break free of the shame and the guilt that it has put on me because I don't want to pass this on to my generation of my family. And because of the way this changed my thinking, I mean, I've always known where I came from. I always knew that. But I just somehow, I let the fact that he, I let the fact of his sin affect me. And it changed my mind. And it made me think less of myself, probably, I don't know, last April or May. And about that time, after, I don't know, about a month after or so, I started getting this issue with my hands. And it's taken me several months to figure out what it is. And I believe now that it's psoriasis. And it's horrible. I can barely change my kids' diapers. I have to wear gloves all the time, whether it's to take a shower or whatever I need to do. I have to wear gloves to cover them because they crack open and then they bleed sometimes, and then they get better and then they get worse again. And my mother-in-law is the one who told me that it may be because of, you know, self-loathing and self-hate and all those different things. And so I guess I feel like that has something to do with it. And I want to be healed of my psoriasis because it's really hard to do things. It's on both of my hands now, and I'm right-handed, and it pretty much has taken over my right hand. And so I want to be healed of my insecurity, of the shame and the guilt that I feel, of the rejection that I feel, and of this physical ailment.
Okay. I went at the Lord's leading after you and I were communicating back and forth through a private Facebook message, and I want to give you some words to encourage you in your solution, which your solution is speak kind words over yourself. Speak kind words over yourself. Believe kind words about yourself. The enemy came in a very traumatic way, abortion and other issues of the womb, back to being carried, that rejection, that, you know, coming in a way that was outside of marriage, all of those places, those strategies of the enemy to bring you down were here before you were. And he knew that if he could plant those seeds in your mind, that you would water them and that he would bring circumstances in your life to confirm those, to make those false evidences appearing real, those fears, those false evidences appearing real, that he would build towers that would cause you to believe that those were truths, that you were the product of a pedophile, that that's, you know, whose blood you came from, that your mother, you know, didn't have you out of love but for wrong motivations, all of those things. And so here, Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Healthy for the body. You have to have a Jesus encounter. Sit with your journal. Face all of those pains. Ask God to show you all of those ungodly beliefs and then all of the truths, whether he gives them to you by his spirit or whether you search them out in his word. Proclaim those over yourself. Proclaim those over yourself. Use those as your affirmations. Edify yourself. Prophesy those things over yourself until you become them. Those kind words will be sweet to your soul and health for your body. Psalm 32, 3 through 4, when I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning. If you keep silent about this, if you do not face these pains and you do not ask God to heal you in this area, This right here is a biblical pattern that in our silence, if we keep silent about this stuff, that our bones can become brittle. These things suck the life out of us. Proverbs 3, 7 through 8 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Lori Beth, you cannot see yourself the way that God sees you unless you ask him to show you. And we're going to do that as I pray that over you. That's part of the prayer, is sitting with Jesus. And I don't have time on this call, but when we take the time, however long it takes, Jesus is going to show you some really, really beautiful, beautiful things about yourself. Beautiful things. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are created in the very image of God. Oh, how spectacular is that, Lori Beth? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You have to make a decision to turn away from all of these ungodly beliefs about yourself, about your mother, and even about your father. Yes, yes. Forgive him. Begin to bless him. Bless him. Bless him. He's created in God's image too. He's fallen to sin, and Jesus loves him. And Jesus wants him, and God has a plan and a purpose for his life too. Says if you'll do this, it will be healing to your body. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. This process heals our body. God is so amazing. Proverbs 15:30, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news gives health to the bones. Good news gives health to the bones. Now, I know that you're not dealing with a bone issue, but all of these verses are just to show you. You said, I can't help but wonder if this outbreak, this illness and sickness that is in my hands is tied to some of my, what you were saying was soul and spirit wounds. And yes, I believe it is. A harsh word stirs up anger. These harsh words that you've spoken over yourself, these harsh words that you've allowed in your reactions and in your interactions with your mother, they've stirred up anger, and anger does not produce anything but death. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so we have the power of life and death in our tongue, and I want you, as many verses as you can, to begin to proclaim these truths over you. Wash yourself with the living water of the Word of God. You know, I remember when I first got saved and I started doing this stuff, and I mean, I probably did look like a crazy person. I actually walked around and I told Satan, get thee behind me at times. And, you know, I would tell myself things out loud, and, you know, my mom would start to say, I think that, you know, this whole church thing has you brainwashed. And, you know, that had me feeling a little insecure in the beginning. But as I grew and I saw, you know what, I needed to be brainwashed. I really did. I needed my brain washed. I needed a renewing of my mind by the Word of God. I needed it. My filter was filled with mud, and every bit of my life ran through that muddy filter, and everything came out dirty. Ready to pray?
Yes.
Father God, Lord, I lift up Lori Beth to you right now, and I lift up every other person that is on this call that has these issues of rejection or a sense of insecurity in their identity, wondering why their parents, maybe who are totally backslidden, maybe who are total heathens, maybe who have even rejected your word, maybe who have even said there is no God, I hate God. And these ladies, these people are pursuing you, and they're wondering, why would you have brought me through them? I pray, Father God, for your peace that passes understanding to come as a comfort, as a wave of comfort right now. I ask the peace of Jesus to be on your mind. Father God, Lord, we confess these things of verbally and mentally acknowledging and taking on, agreeing with our enemy about things about ourselves that do not line up with your word. we declare that we have sinned against you in believing that we are anything less than what you have said. We are joint heirs to your kingdom. You did not leave us as orphans. You adopted us into your family, and we have the right to be called your child. Lori Beth is your child. You are her father. You are her father, and every good and perfect thing that you have available in your throne room pours down into her and over her. I thank you, Father God, that she, although she believes that she is a product of sin, she is a product of your plan. Your plan. You knew her and you formed her in her mother's womb. You knew her before the foundations of the earth. You had a plan for her and you saw every day of her life. You have been excited about this day when she would come broken and beautiful before you, crying out, Jesus, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need a touch from you. I am the sick woman, the woman with the infirmity, and I'm reaching out. If I could but touch the hem of your garment, I know I will be healed. I thank you that she's reaching out and that she's touching you right now. Right now, that heaven is touching earth just through the name. When we speak the name, your name, Jesus, your name, Jesus, by your stripes, we are healed. We touch the hem of your garment and we receive by faith our healing. I know that I know that I know that you are breaking off these wounds, this dis-ease in her soul that is allowing this disease in her body. And we command your soul to be at rest. In the name of Jesus, we proclaim peace. We release the power of the blood of Jesus over you right now. Be free. Be free. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your spirit of reconciliation that comes, that reconciles us to yourself, and then reconciles us to others.
What happened? Hello?
Hello?